Kessler rummaged through a cabinet below the radio and found a flashlight. Its naked beam revealed the body of Max Ebelhardt, the co-pilot, who had died in the first instant of the attack. Calling out for Josef and Lichtermann, he trained the light on the inverted cockpit. He spotted the men still strapped to their seats, their arms dangling as limp as rag dolls. Neither man moved, not even when Kessler crawled over to them and laid a hand on the pilot's shoulder. The rank smell of gasoline finally burned through the fog in Kessler's head, and he staggered to the rear of the aircraft, where the main door was located. The crash had crushed the frame, and he had to slam his shoulder into the metal to pop it open. He fell out of the Condor and sprawled on the ice. Chunks of the fuselage and wing were strewn along the glacier, and he could plainly see the deep furrows the aircraft had gouged into the ice. He wasn't sure how imminent the threat of fire was, or how long it would be before he could safely return to the damaged Condor. But with the wind chilled by the ice as it came down off the glacier, he knew he couldn't remain out in the open for very long. His best bet lay in finding the mysterious building he'd spotted before the crash. He would wait there until he was certain the Condor wouldn't burn and then return. Hopefully the radio survived the crash. If it hadn't, there was a small inflatable boat stored in the tail section of the plane. It would take him days to reach a village, but if he hugged the coastline, he could make it. Kessler's head pounded, and his neck became so stiff he could barely turn it. He took bearings on the mountain that hid so much of the tight fjord and started trudging across the glacier. Distances on the ice were hard to determine, and what had looked like just a couple of kilometers turned into an hours-long walk that left his feet numb. A sudden rain squall had drenched him, the water freezing on his coat, flaking off in icy bits that crackled with each step. He was thinking about turning back and taking his chances with the plane when his eye caught the outline of the building, thrust partially out of the ice. As he got closer and details emerged from the dark, he began to shiver with more than the cold. It wasn't a building at all. Kessler came to a stop under the bow of a huge ship, constructed of thick wood with copper sheathing and towering over his head, that had become trapped in the ice. Knowing how slowly glaciers moved, he estimated that for the vessel to be so deeply buried, it had been here for thousands of years. It was unlike anything he'd ever seen. Even as that thought crossed his mind, he knew it wasn't true. He'd seen pictures of this ship before. There were illustrations in the Bible his grandfather used to read to him when he was a boy. Kessler had much preferred the Old Testament stories to the preachings of the New, so he even recalled the ship's dimensions: 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits tall.
"And onto this ark Noah loaded his animals, two by two,"